In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I've told you before that when I read the Gospels, things just kind of jump out at me. And oftentimes, just one word jumps out at me, because that word is used by believers and unbelievers alike, but they don't mean the same thing by the word. This happens all the time. Even those who are Orthodox and those who are not Orthodox, who are Christian, they use words, but they mean different things by them. And this happens all the time. And in the gospel, it's really important to know what words mean. We have several examples of this in the story about the rich young ruler who wanted to be saved. And we'll just go through the story pretty much line by line, and the things that I've underlined that really are not always understood the same way by people. You'd better understand them as a Christian understands them. So the first thing is, this one comes, this young man, this rich young man, and he says, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life?" And Jesus actually calls him on both of those things. First of all, he says, "Why do you call me good?" So he says that explicitly. "You're calling me good. Do you know what good is?" He didn't know what good is. Jesus said, all good comes from God. He didn't realize he was speaking to God, and he didn't realize what true goodness is. Because when he told him, "If you enter into life, keep the commandments," the man says, "Which?" And he just says all these, some of the commandments, a subset of the commandments, of the Ten Commandments, and also the one about the second greatest commandment of loving your neighbor. And the young man keeps those commandments, or so he thinks. He really doesn't keep those commandments, because he's really not good, because there is only one good one. And the whole point of Christianity is to become good. It's really remarkable. I hope you think about this often. You're not good. I'm not good. The thoughts that go on in our heads, terrible, horrible. And yet, God loves us. God decided to live within us upon our baptism and remains in us and helps us to perfection. This is really an amazing thing, because we're not good. Anybody who thinks they're good, or even somebody who thinks they're better than someone else, you don't understand what goodness is, because we're not good. And he wasn't good, this young man. And the Lord was trying to teach him about what true goodness is. Goodness is to seek perfection. Or I should say, really, at the end of perfection, we're good. And seeking perfection is what you should be doing. We're not just living our life doing our things. We're seeking perfection. So if we understand goodness is from God. We were born to be good. Despite the evidence to the contrary, we're born to be good, truly good. And we are good through keeping the commandments, but much more than that, because we can't keep all the commandments. And even if we kept the commandments perfectly, we wouldn't be perfected. You can only be perfected by the grace of God. So what do we do? This is what he tells the young man. This is an instruction to the young man. It might be an instruction to you, but it is not an instruction to everyone. The idea of this instruction is to everyone, but the specifics are specific to this young man. So he says, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." And keep on following me, actually, is what it says. Keep on following me after you've sold everything. And why did he tell him that? Because the young man was rich, he had great possessions, and he clung to them. So they were an impediment to his salvation. Perhaps someone else will have an impediment of pride or of lust or of ambition or of laziness or of drug addiction or of slander or gossip or whatever it is. You have these impediments. And by selling all you have, you're trying to be rid of these impediments. That's what the scripture is telling us. Be rid of the things that are weighing you down. And for a lot of people, it's money. You don't have to have a lot of money, by the way, to be attached to money. You don't have to have a lot at all. And so the young man is sorrowful. And that's another word, sorrow. The world has no idea what sorrow is or sadness is. Nor do they even know what joy is or happiness is. Because for the world, happiness is things that are worldly, that are temporal. And sorrow is when you're deprived of these things. That's not the way it is in the Christian life. There are a few people that told me after I lost my son this idea, "You'll get over it soon." Most people didn't because they knew that I'm Irish and I would have told them how stupid it was, what they just said. The world thinks you get over sorrow somehow, that you somehow eventually get, you know, sort of forget about it and everything, as if I forget that I have a son and that he died. Like, really, are you serious? But sorrow transforms. The sorrow of losing a son has transformed me, transformed my life, transformed my ministry, made me so much more appreciative of the ones that I do have. I didn't get over the death of my son. I transformed because of the death of my son. The world thinks of sorrow as something to avoid, something terrible. Well, I guess it's terrible if you want possessions and you don't have them. You want to avoid that at all costs. But a Christian is not afraid to be lacking possessions or to have a loss, because God transforms us through the losses that we have in our life. And we don't even consider things that are, the world thinks are valuable. It's not particularly important to us. So many of the things that the world thinks about, they're sorrowful for things that they can't hold on to. They're trying to hold on to the wind, and it's whistling through their fingers. We, on the other hand, we are trying to fulfill the commandments, and we are trying to become perfected because God is who he is. That's the best reason, by the way, to do good works. Not because of reward, and not because of fear of punishment. It's because God is who he is. God is, and he has chosen to make us to be like him. But it's a process. We're made in his image to obtain his likeness, to be like he is. What an amazing thing. That's why we do good things as best we can. Not because it's any commandment or anything, but because it's in your heart. And this man did not understand that. That's why he said, what good thing do I lack? Or what good thing, excuse me, should I do to be saved? It's not a matter of picking out this thing or that thing to do. It's not anything you do. It's who you are. It's who you become and are becoming. That's what makes a man find salvation or lose it. He has to know who he is and be becoming as God is. And so it's not one good thing or two good things or a thousand or a trillion good things. It's not about good things that we do. It's about having God in our hearts and living according to that reality that he's in our hearts. It's really, what a privilege it is to be a Christian, to be able to do just a little bit of good, to be able to help somebody in a small way, to be able to conquer our sins just perhaps just a bit, because God is helping us. And it's not about those things that we are doing. It is who we are becoming. This is what he did not understand. And most of the world that is considers itself Christian outside of the Orthodox Church does not understand this. We do good. Indeed, we do good works. Indeed, we struggle to follow the commandments because God is who he is. That's why. That's the entire reason. Because we are children of God, children of the Most High, fearfully and wonderfully made. And therefore, it is completely natural for us to do as God does. Completely natural. Some of you know that I take my grandchildren, one of them is here today, Noah, and also Owen. I take them to church every time I take care of them. And I've made little sensors out of these almond tins. They sense the church and they kiss the icons and we sing Papa Song, which is the Christ is Risen melody from West Virginia, and other songs as well. And when I first gave them the sensors, of course, they're just kind of banging them around, not really understanding how to use them. But they watch me. So they're learning how to do it correctly, actually. And there's a great seriousness about them. They go before the icon and they bow before it, and there's a certain seriousness. Why are they doing that? For one reason. Because they love their papa and papa does it. That's exactly why they're doing it. And that's a really good reason to do it. So it's a really good reason to do the things that God does, because we love our Father. Period. Because of who he is. This young man did not understand that. And so the Lord told him, you got this in the way. your possessions are in the way. You'll never, ever be perfect if you have your possessions because they are strangling you. They are drowning you. Get rid of them. But he couldn't do it. So he went away sorrowful because he had the sorrow of the world. Indeed, we should have sorrow. Absolutely. I hope all of you are very sorrowful every day. I hope all of you cry at night. But you should cry because of your sins and the sins of the world. And then when you cry in that way, whether you can actually cry physical tears or just try to pray with some measure of compunction to the best of your ability, then God sends you relief. He sends you refreshment. He sends you joy. Not happiness like you'd get happiness if you're on a ride in Disney World, but true joy where God is in the heart and God is making himself evident to us in our hearts. Now the apostles were really shocked seeing how the Lord dealt with this man, because they knew, well, this guy's rich. Rich people don't sell everything they have. It just doesn't happen. They thought, how can anybody be saved? The Lord told him to do something that he couldn't do. How can anyone be saved? And then the Lord said this famous quote that what is it, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I think also this word possible and impossible, the opposite of it, is a word that the world does not understand. We are living the impossible today. We are Christians, despite being terrible, but God loves us. And although it is impossible for us to really give honor to God, he accepts that tiny bit of honor we give him. Not enough, not at all adequate. And he magnifies it because of his love for us. And eventually, we will be perfected. So we're doing the impossible right now. And many times people think things are not possible because they don't have enough faith. Perhaps you don't have a very good prayer rule. Perhaps your prayer rule really isn't a prayer rule at all. It's kind of like sometimes you pray, sometimes you don't. You always feel there's kind of something lacking that day. You think, oh, I didn't even pray today at all. Some of you go through that sort of thing. And I'll bet you some of you think, I can't do it. I've got too many things. I've got the children. I've got my job. I've got the stresses of work. I've got to get up really early. I've been really tired lately. And all these other things. And those are real reasons why it's difficult to pray. I'm not saying that they're excuses. But you're looking at those things and saying it's impossible? That if you don't really struggle to pray and beg God to help you, you won't be able to develop a prayer rule? I mean, come on. You're able to pay your bills and pay your taxes. You do have some organizational capabilities. You can do it with God helping you. The world thinks things are impossible that are very much possible. So those are a few of the words that I sort of underlined in this gospel. I especially was thinking about what it is to be good and what a privilege it is to be good, even a little bit, because it's such a privilege to be a Christian, to be alive. We don't deserve it at all, and yet God gives it to us. But we must then react. It makes no sense to obtain something very precious and then to put it away under the bushel. It makes no sense whatsoever. It's crazy. But people do this all the time. So you have something in your life that you might think is impossible. It's not. It's not impossible. Pray about it. Whether it's impossible about something you can't do, or a problem with someone you love, or whatever it is. Pray. Even if they've died, pray. No matter how they died, pray. And live your life not trying to do a good thing, or 10 good things, or 100 good things, but to become good, because that's what you were born for. May God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.